Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. And we've been talking to a couple of guests involved in a play that's being done out in Los Angeles. It's called Japanese Death Poem, and don't turn off your radios right now. It's supposed to be quite funny and also sad and all those good kind of things plays are, and we're even lucky enough to be talking to the main actress in the piece. And if you haven't heard of Danny Arcieri yet, well, you probably will, because his plays are going to start getting done in New York more. And maybe you haven't even heard the name Stephen Tobolowsky, although you probably know his face, either from Deadwood or Groundhog Day or Memento. But I'll bet you know our current guest, and I'm not even going to tell you her name yet, because you're going to hear her voice and you're going to know who it is. So, hello there.
Well, hello there, David.
How are you doing? Well, let's give people a chance to register the voice.
All right. Well, what should we talk about?
Well, let's talk about the play, first of all.
Oh, well, wonderful. Okay, well, the name of the poem, the play, as you said, is Japanese Death Poem, and I am just so excited to be in it with Stephen Tobolowsky and Gavin Glennon and David Hunt Stafford and Austin Peck and Scott Thatcher and Richard Miller and to work with this great playwright who is the first time actually the play has been done as a production at Theater 40 in Los Angeles. This will be its first viewing. So,
were you in the stage reading at in Dallas or?
No, I was not. I read the play originally at Stephen Tobolowsky's home, and I wasn't able to go to Texas with him. So but he had asked me to do this part, and Stephen and I were doing Mornings at 7 together in New York on Broadway, and that's where we met, and that's where he first read Japanese Death Poem, and he said, I think there's a play that we should do.
And, by the way, now I guess I can tell everybody, it's Julie Haggerty, if you haven't guessed from The Voice. And you're playing the wife of the professor, am I correct, in the piece?
Yes, and the wife of the professor, and then the professor has a brother, and who's a dermatologist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I hope that actually it's sort of like I actually don't want to talk too much about the play, although I do, but I hope that we'll get to come do it in New York and then it'll be a surprise for everyone.
Oh.
Because it does take a lot of twists and turns.
Yeah, I mean, Stephen had talked a bit about, you know, the stylistic staging of it, and also
right.
Danny had mentioned pretty much the plot of a love triangle and all that's going on. But
okay.
But it's cool. But we can also talk more about just how you've been doing and your career, both doing a lot of stage work and still doing the film work and a lot of TV as well.
Right. I started in theater a million years ago in New York. I lived in New York for 24 years, and I've been in California now for 10, and so I love theater, and I'm really thrilled to be working at Theater 40. It's this wonderful theater company, a true company, and I've become a member, and as we're doing our play, then Stephen's wife, Anne Hearn, is directing Driving Miss Daisy. So they'll be doing Driving Miss Daisy as we're doing Danny's Japanese Death Poem on opposite days. So they do wonderful work, and it's just this wonderful little space. It feels very much like a New York off Broadway theater. It's really special. So I actually feel like I'm very much at home in that theater.
So it was kind of like some of the off-Broadway things that you didn't do that much off-Broadway, but you were in a couple of things in New York over the years. I mean, I think I saw you in a Tom Noonan piece called...
Yes,
were you
the wife.
Or the wife,
yes,
yeah.
The wife with Wally Shawn and Karen and Tom, and that was off-Broadway. And Well, I started, my brother had a theater company, 35 years ago. It was called the Production Company. And that's where I started working when I was, let's see, I'm going to be 50, so.
Well, mazel tov. What was your first play?
My first play was at the Production Company, and it was called Mutual Benefit Life, written by Robert Patrick.
Rob, oh, my gosh. I think he's still writing, isn't he? He's still
doing pieces. And then I did, the second play I did there was The House of Blue Leaves, which then many years later I did at Lincoln Center.
Were you Bunny or not? Or, no,
I was Corinna Stroller, the deaf movie star.
Okay, cool.
Which was really fun. And I did it at the Production Company. I played that part, and then I played that part at the Lincoln Center, and then we moved it to Broadway.
At that point, you had made a commitment to be an actress. I mean, was that a natural decision to come to, or were you working, were you waitressing? I mean, what really gave you the impetus to do it full-time career?
I started working full-time as an actress when I was 21, doing off-Broadway.
Right, but that isn't necessary. I mean, that implies a commitment to begin with, but unless you make it to a certain level, a lot of people drop out along the wayside, or they can't afford to be actors and actresses.
Right.
So, but you were...
I have to say, I was so very lucky to be at my brother's theater company. He started the theater company, the production company, with five of his friends from Carnegie Mellon. He went to Carnegie. And I was very lucky because I was doing my second play there when Gretchen Rennell from Paramount saw me do the play and asked me to read for Airplane.
Oh, because it really came out of nowhere. It really was sort of like
right.
The film came and who is this person? And then America fell in love with you. I mean, it was just like the perfect person for the perfect role. And,
right.
You know, you must have beaten out some pretty well-known names, in fact.
Well, I don't know. I was very blessed. I have to say that, you know, I was very blessed that happened, and that sort of really kind of took off. I did the movie, but I always, for 24 years, went back to New York because that was my home and would always do plays in between doing films.
Right. And then the question also is, you had that huge hit with Airplane, you did the sequel. And then there was this kind of, seems to be sort of a gap between them and when you got to do the Albert Brooks film, Lost in America.
Lost in America. Well, there was Midsummer Night Sex Comedy that I did with Woody Allen.
Right.
And then there was Goodbye New York that I did.
Was that in between or were those sort of later? My time
in
frame.
Between.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, I have to break in and ask, any Woody Allen memories? Got to ask. Any thoughts on him as a director or working with him or his...
Well, he's a genius.
Well,
it was an honor to work with him. You know, a complete honor to be working to work with him. I've been very, very fortunate, and I've had the opportunity to work with some rather brilliant people in my life that you know, I feel very... As I said, fortunate.
Well, I'm not looking for let's say, you know, negative or bad stories. I'm saying, like, the difference between doing a scene, say, with or for Woody Allen and a scene with or for Albert Brooks. I mean, what are their styles like? What's, you know, how does one work as opposed to the other?
Boy, I can't say. It's just every time I go to work, it's like you go, it's just different. You know, everybody has their own style. Everybody has their own way of working and... you know, it's so hard to say.
Okay. Well, what would you say then is the greatest stretch that you've ever had to do as an actress? Because we tend to see you in two different kinds of things, especially early in your career. You were sort of the ingenue, naive, that role. And then I guess you get cast as a lot of sort of waspy, John Guerry kind of people. Or not even John, who's the other guy? Gurney.
A.R. Gurney.
Right.
Uh-huh, Pete Gurney, yeah.
So, are there roles that you've done that really were totally the other side of the fence, and how did you work those?
Japanese Death Poem is certainly different from anything I've ever done. And The Wife.
Mm-hmm. In what way?
Well, I mean, she was pretty depressed. I mean, it was a pretty bleak character, you know, and very depressed.
Is that, how are you like in real life? You seem kind of lively and fun and not in that direction. That, I think, was one of the things about Airplane, that you seem to be genuine from the voice and everything else.
Uh-huh. No, I'm a happy soul.
You're a happy soul.
You know, I just enjoy life. It's pretty great to, you know, I feel very fortunate and blessed. And are you there?
I'm just listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I have a wonderful husband and great stepchildren and great friends, and I get to, you know, I feel very blessed to get to do what I do for a living, and, you know, what could be wrong, you know?
Are there roles either, well, I, again, talking theatrically, are there roles that you've always wanted to tackle and may or may not get the chance to?
That's hard. So many coming to mind, and then you just go blank.
No problem.
Okay.
And I assume you intend to keep on acting and performing for the foreseeable or whatever future.
Hey, why not?
Oh, well, yeah, that's a great life, of course.
It's wonderful. I've been doing it. I've been working as an actress for 7 years.
Wow.
So, you know, and as you get older and parts change and you meet new people and there are challenges and you always get butterflies and you're always terrified and then it's great and, you know, it's wonderful.
And I assume theater remains and is your first love, but what about between film and TV? Do you have a preference?
No, I enjoy working. I really do enjoy working. It's two different ways that you approach work. I mean, one is with an audience, one is without, but there's just, I find joy in both mediums.
And here's a question. You mentioned that you've only been living in L.A. for about 10 years.
Yes.
I would have assumed that you would have been out there right after Airplane to, you know, be in L.A. where all the movies are. But you stayed in New York for a few more years.
Yes, I did. Well, New York was home to me, and you know, I would come back and do theater, and I just, you know, and then I got married to someone who lives here, and that's so, and then a whole new life. So, you know, I have great new friends, and my friends from New York, but I know Steven and, you know, all these great actors that I'm working with and have, you know, so it's just...
So you totally
adapted. Make the world bigger. Yeah.
So I just want to remind folks that Julie Haggerty is appearing in Japanese Death Poem at Theater 40 in Los Angeles. It's playing from April 16th until... There's been a bit of scuttlebutt about this. I think it's till May 23rd, but there's also maybe rumblings already of an extension. I don't know if that's like cat out of a bag, but, well, yeah, if they're feeling strong about it, you know, obviously if it goes well, why not? You know.
Well, let's knock on wood.
There's a board here. I'll do it right now. Good, solid knock on wood. So, Julie, thank you so much.
Well, David, thank you, and it was just delightful talking with you, and come see the play. Well,
sure, fly me. I'd love to. Or bring it here, even better. That would be nice.
Yes, all right, let's. We want to come do it in New York.
Sounds good. Sounds
even
good.
Even better. All right, and let's just pretend and say that we will do it there, and then you'll come and you'll introduce yourself in person.
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, David, and looking forward to meeting you in person.
Sounds good.